In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament lesson for Pentecost Sunday, which many of you heard in church yesterday, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me round among them, and behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And as I looked, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded, and the breath came upon them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you home into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own hand. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and that I have done it, says the Lord. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this famous and very beautiful text is very appropriate for Pentecost Day and for the season. For reasons that may not be immediately obvious, we naturally associate the text primarily with resurrection, which of course it does have something to do with, but it's worth noting that the text is all full of references to the Lord's Spirit. In fact, Ezekiel, in general, may be called the prophet of the Spirit more than any other prophet. And as in our text, the Spirit, the Ruach, does many things. He's often the agent who, together with the Yah, the hand of Yahweh, transports the prophet to the valley of dry bones. As the word indicates itself, he is the agent of inspiration. At one point he even enters into the prophet Ezekiel, so that one can almost say that the medium becomes the message in that case. And he is often, as especially in this text, the one who animates, who gives life, who, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, is the Lord and giver of life. And of course it's this element of the resurrection for which our text is best known. It's a recapitulation of what God had done at the creation to begin with. When you recall, after God had first formed that little model of a man, why, he breathed into it the breath of life, and the person became a nefesh kaya, a living being. There are also echoes in our text, if you look at the Hebrew, of the Exodus. God had also brought them up out of the land of Egypt, which was often compared in the Bible to a grave, and that too he will fulfill here now by bringing them back into their own land. I think all of this is a salutary reminder that just as Pentecost gets the least attention in our churches of all the three major festivals of the church, and as accordingly the Holy Spirit, if you will, is the orphan of the three persons of the Trinity, and especially that we forget that the works of the economic Trinity, as the dogmaticians say, or the opera ad extra, as we used to learn in Latin, the external works of the Trinity, to the extent that they can be distinguished, are specially assigned to the Holy Spirit, that he is the one of whom we confess, even in the baptismal creed, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. That is, the message of Easter is not eclipsed by the message of the Spirit, and that the message of Easter continues via the Spirit throughout the entire season of Pentecost, continuing after us. And by no accident do we often talk, not with tongue in cheek, that every Sunday is a little Easter, a little celebration of what had happened there. As I think you know, this chapter is easily the best known part of the entire book, with the arguable exception of the call narrative in the first chapter. No little thanks to that little spiritual about the thigh bones connected to the hip bones and so on that all of you know. And even beyond that spirituality, chapter has naturally had a tremendous impact upon Christian art throughout the ages. The most famous comes from one of the earliest examples that we know of a Christian church, founded at a site called Dura Oropus on the Middle Euphrates, today in Eastern Egypt, that tries to depict artistically what this vision describes. And if you want to make the pilgrimage to Damascus, well, you can see the painting yourself today there. It played a very prominent role throughout the history of the church, beginning a little bit in the New Testament and also in the church fathers. I think scholars once in a while are inclined to debate whether the accent is on a national or on an individual resurrection. And no doubt the accent in Ezekiel was primarily on a national resurrection, on the whole nation coming out of the grave of the exile and being restored to its own land. But beyond that immediate historical focus, that's a distinction without a difference. Nations are made up of people. Nations in and of themselves don't produce bones. They're abstractions. It's people who produce bones that have to be brought back to life. And if we recall that in biblical theology, the Spirit of God, especially as made plain in the New Testament, is always the Spirit of Christ, well, we may well invoke the words of St. Paul in this connection. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. But if Christ is raised, then we shall no longer lament, as the people in our text are quoted as saying, our bones are dried up, Our hope is lost and we are clean cut off, because beginning with baptism, the Holy Spirit has entered also into our bones and given us an eternal hope which stretches into eternal life. And perhaps in conclusion, if you will allow me one other thought, which does not follow immediately from the text, but which I think is perhaps relevant anyway, that obviously it's silly to prophesy to bones. One wouldn't ordinarily try that. But I think many a pastor has the feeling that the obstinate people, the people who refuse to listen in spite of his efforts and whatever, might as well be dry bones. But if we remember that the same God who is indeed able to raise up living people out of dry bones is also able out of people who are alive into living Christians. And of course, he has our promise that that will happen, and many a pastor can attest to the fact that it does happen. And our text ends then with what is almost Ezekiel's signature, the so-called recognition formula. When this happens, you will know that I am Yahweh, your God. That is, you will know, even as you are known, to use the words of St. Paul. May God grant it unto all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.